Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you all could tune in today. As well as those tuning in on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106 Live, we're glad you all could join us as well. Best-selling author Cameron Wright is making his first appearance on our program this year to talk to us not only about his new book, The Orphan Keeper, but also what it's been like for him to be able to see the response to his work, and then, of course, to be able to write stories that he's not only happy about, but also to share some great messages as well. The Orphan Keeper definitely does that. We'll talk to him about what inspired the novel, but also let you all know how you can stay connected with him and get it for yourself. Cameron, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi. It's great to be here. I appreciate you having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. This has been a busy month for you already, Cameron, as I know, so we definitely appreciate your taking out the time. The book, we find out, of course, right on the cover, that even though it is a novel, it's based on a true story. I mean, this is a book, I think, that when I first started reading it, I went into it not really knowing what to expect, but you immediately bring us into this journey that I think all of us can really relate to and hopefully we'll find some inspiration in. What has it been like for you already, Cameron, to see the response to the book?
You know, the response has been fabulous. It takes so long to develop the story and sort of get it, you know, bring it to the market. And so, you know, it's kind of a tense moment. And certainly when the reviews start coming in and readers start, you know, posting and saying how much they appreciated the story and the difference that it meant, it's overwhelming, really humbling.
Yeah, I think that the big thing for me, and I said this to you before we went on here, is that, you know, when it comes to, you know, resilience, when it comes to perseverance, when it comes to determination, there really is no age limit on that, and there's no particular age where that can begin. But I think all of us, as we're looking at the challenges that we face, can make a decision, no matter how old we are or where we are, to be able to want something better and to do something better. How did this story initially come to you?
Yeah, my previous book was called The Rent Collector, and I'm a marketing guy in addition to writing, of course, and so I get very involved in the marketing of a book. And as the marketing for The Rent Collector was kind of winding down, I began to look for, you know, put feelers out there, look for another project. And a friend of mine is a screenwriter, and he had met Taj, who's the subject of The Orphan Keeper, met him several years ago, had looked at possibly doing a screenplay. Things didn't work out, but we were at an event together, a basketball game, actually, and you put two storytellers together, and immediately, you know, the discussion will turn to story. He starts telling me about Taj and how he was kidnapped as a child, this amazing journey, and my jaw dropped, and I couldn't believe it. And I said, you know, I, to this day, I don't know who won the game. I was just focused on this story, and I said, you know, I need to meet this guy. This is going to be my next book. You know, I've got to write this story. Took several months to convince Taj, but in the end we did, and that's really what the story's about.
Yeah. Have you found, it is always interesting to me, and I think we all are guilty of this in some form or fashion, Cameron, that a lot of the times we don't think our own lives are that interesting. We don't see you know, the value that other people might see in it. I mean, for you, was part of the reason why you were so drawn to it is because it was so inspiring what this individual had been able to not only to achieve but also to overcome considering the circumstances.
Right, yeah. His story is amazing on one level. I mean, he's kidnapped as a child in India. He's carried 3 hours away. He's sold to an orphanage. He's then adopted from there to a couple in the United States. And so really amazing things that happen to him that really don't happen to a lot of people. And so on one level, you feel like, well, it's a unique story. But at the very same time, it's a story that everybody can relate to, that I could relate to his story. Because, you know, we've all had those moments where we sort of wonder, you know, who are we? How do we fit in life? What's our purpose? What's our place? And that's really kind of what Taj's story is about, kind of finding our place in the world, you know, discovering really who we are and the difference we can make.
Yeah. I think that is definitely true. There is that one scene with Taj, and you know, and I think, you know, with he was in a part of a conversation, and the woman was talking about family and how that being one of the most important things, but also just appreciating the little things, appreciating the air and the sunshine was one of the things that she mentioned. Is that one of the things that you hoped, Cameron, when you decided to pen this book and to kind of bring Taj's life to all of us, that we would begin to understand and appreciate more the life that we have and the opportunities that we have as individuals?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a story that I think hopefully it makes us more appreciative of our friends and family, of really the importance of friends and family in our lives. It's a story that kind of addresses really determination. I mean, it kind of like we have to push and develop and seek for these connections, these experiences on our own, to really achieve them. We can't just wait and expect they'll happen. And, you know, Taj's story is a perfect example of that. He's in America. He's raised here. He starts to remember his family back in India, wants to go back and try and find them, but he has no clues, and it's a country of a billion people. I mean, really, the odds were overwhelming against his success, and yet he was determined. He didn't give up. He kept pushing toward that and ultimately, you know, made connections with family that are really unbelievable and amazing. And he has kind of, you know, family connections today that he otherwise wouldn't have had. And, so it all plays a part, you know, the determination, the connection, everything kind of swirls together and in his case made for a really great great story and a great ending.
For sure, yeah, and definitely something for us to be able to read and to be able to dive into ourselves. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome best-selling author Cameron Wright to our program. He's the author of the new book, The Orphan Keeper. You mentioned your previous work, The Rent Collector. Cameron, so let's go back a little bit. I mean, what was it about storytelling that initially struck you?
You know, storytelling for me, and you know, you talk about sort of the fact that we need to have determination, we need to do whatever we can do. You know, I didn't become a storyteller until really sort of midlife. It was kind of a midlife crisis experience for me. And I've just always been intrigued by story my whole life, but really didn't take the steps down that road to become a writer until I was, you know, approaching 40, really. And it's a tough road, but at the same time, again, with determination, I'm probably the perfect example of, hey, you know, I tell people, if Cameron can do it, anybody can do it. You know, you just have to be determined. But I think stories, there's something about stories, the messages that we hear in stories over and over again that resonate with people. You know, the messages that when we see it in classical literature throughout really all periods of time, you know, stories of determination, of not giving up hope, that people deserve second chances. You know, I think as people we relate to these because we shouldn't give up hope. We do deserve second chances. You know, we do need to keep believing, keep trying. And so that's kind of those aspects are really what kind of steered me towards wanting to share and be a writer and find these stories and share them with others.
Yeah, there is, I think, a bit of hope that is kind of connected to several of the characters that we meet in the book, the Orphan Keeper, Cameron. And I think, you know, for many people, I felt this way, that for some, hope was really all they had. The reason why they had, you know, had hope, or at least were able to articulate the fact that they were hopeful, was because that gave them something to look forward to. Was that one of the things that you found in talking with Taj, that was one of the things that kind of kept him going, the hope of what might happen or what might be?
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, Taj is an example of hope. I think maybe more so he's an example of determination. Perhaps the best example of hope, I think, in the story is Taj's Indian mother, his mother in India. So her child is snatched off the streets and suddenly disappears. And for nearly 20 years, you know, she didn't know where her child was at. And she never gave up. You know, she never quit looking, never quit hoping. And in fact, you know, going to astrologers are very important in the Indian culture. And 8 months before Taj came home, this is nearly 20 years later, she was still going to the astrologers, still going to, you know, the Hindu temples, praying that her son would return. And she never gave up. And that's astounding to me that 20 years later, she was still just as determined and still really just as hopeful that her son would come back. Ironically, she went to an astrologer 8 months before Taj came back, and he told her, he said, "Your son will return, and when he does, he will fly." She didn't know what that meant, and she thought, "Oh, this is crazy. You're taking my money." But 8 months later, Taj flew into India and then was able to reconnect with his family through some really amazing circumstance. So, yeah, I think she's the perfect example of really a mother's love, of not giving up hope, of keeping hope alive.
Yeah. Another individual that played a big part, Cameron, that I knew I wanted to mention was Christopher. There are so many individuals that are in the world, and unfortunately, because of the bad apples, you become distrustful of everyone, and there's this whole thing about there's no good going on anywhere. Christopher was an example of not only having a belief system, I believe, but allowing that belief system to guide him in a real way. And we saw that in his interaction with Taj, and we don't have to spoil that if you don't want to, for those who haven't read the book yet. But, I mean, do you think, when you think about individuals like him, I guess is what I wanted to say, does that make you more hopeful about what is possible for us today and what we can accomplish today?
Oh, absolutely. And Christopher is such an amazing guy. And so, here to kind of set things up for the listeners. So Taj flies into India. He doesn't speak the language. He can't get around on his own. He only knows Christopher through emails, really. And he's spoken to him just on the phone, but they're really virtual strangers. And this is a guy not to spoil too much, but when he couldn't get anybody else in India to help him, This really virtual stranger took off work and really went around with Taj in his search for his family and took days off work with no pay, just really out of being a kind, good person. And, of course, ultimately it pays off handsomely for everybody in the end. But I, to this day, they're strong, fast business partners. They do everything together. And that one little decision in his life to, help this stranger really changed his life and many of the lives of those around him. So it's a perfect example for me and for others to, when there's an opportunity to step in and help, we shouldn't say, what's in it for me? We should just help. That's what Christopher did. And, the net result was, a lot of change in everybody's lives.
For sure. And I think that, again, is the big thing. Again, everyone, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're speaking today with Cameron Wright today about his newest book, The Orphan Keeper, that was released this month. We'll remind you a little bit later how you can get the book for yourself. You, like the rest of us, Cameron, are on social media, those treacherous online waters that we all are on. With
yes,
Facebook,
exactly.
And Twitter, and everything else. I mean, what has that been like for you? I mean, it's one thing for you to read an email about what someone thinks about the book, but what has it been like for you in real time to hear from individuals or even to meet individuals in your person-to-person interactions about how the book is impacting them?
It's great. It's awesome. And it takes, for some of us, it takes a little getting used to. I haven't been in the past a big social media guy, and But that said, there are certainly advantages and pluses to being able to connect with readers, and they have questions, and you can immediately respond, and certainly that's gratifying to be able to do that. It's great to hear feedback in real time, really. And it has both its hazards and its benefits, but I think the benefits do outweigh the hazards, and it's been a really fun experience to be able to connect with readers and interact with them.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was so interesting and kind of funny to me as someone who reads a few hundred books a year, you authors spend so much time with, these books, and we almost feel bad, some of us, when we're able to read them in a week. And then we look around and we think, okay, well, when's the next one going to come?
Exactly.
I mean, for you, as you went from The Rent Collector, I was curious about this. I mean, Take us into the time when you met Taj and when the book started versus, of course, as I said, it was just released this month. I mean, how much time are we talking about from that conversation, that meeting, to you're actually finishing the book?
Yeah, once I met Taj, it took several months after meeting him to really convince him that I could do justice to his story. And it was several meetings and discussions, and he read The Rent Collector and really kind of loved the way I treated that story And that, I think, is really kind of what pushed him over, to make the decision. And so once he said, yeah, okay, let's do this, and then we sort of really became partners in the project, it took about a year. I mean, I feel like I'm a slow writer. I don't know. But it took about a year to write the manuscript. As I was perhaps, you know, halfway through, maybe three-quarters through, and Tosh felt very strongly that really to understand the flavor of India and to understand really the depth of his journey, that I needed to go over there and visit. And it was really wise advice and wisdom. I, up until then, you know, I'm reading books, I'm watching movies, I'm on the internet, I'm doing all of the research I can. But really, that's no substitute. You know, I needed to be there to walk those roads that he walked, to see the orphanage where he was at, where he was kidnapped, you know, meet his family. And so it was really invaluable to go over there and then meet those people and see those places. And it was able to really add a richness to the language and to the writing that I think it would have been lacking. It would have, you know, felt maybe a little too plastic instead of feeling real. And so, but yeah, you know, it took about a year approximately. And then, of course, that's just to finish the manuscript. And then, you know, as writers know, it's a painful process to then get a publisher, and it seems like forever, because once the book's done, you know, you're ready to get it out there, but unfortunately it takes another several months to actually have the book come to market.
I want to go back to that trip, because you took the literal trip. Of course, we were just taking this trip through your words. I mean, can you kind of take us into one of the things that you found a greater appreciation for after actually being there and being able to be in the atmosphere that Tosh came from?
Yeah, I mean, I touched on sort of the descriptiveness. There's nothing that can take the place of really walking down the alleys and smelling the mixture of, you know, the curry and oil on the road and urine, and there's people everywhere, and you know, it's just the senses, you can't make that up, and you can't imagine it on your own. And so certainly that helped create words and sentences to describe those things that I otherwise wouldn't have had. I think meeting the people was very important, to be able to, you know, meet them face to face and get a feel for Tosh's family and what they're like, and how they missed him when he was gone, and how they received him when he came back. And again, I don't think I would have been able to grasp that from Tosh just explaining it. But there were also key story elements that I didn't know. I mean, Tosh did his best to kind of go through his story, but that's just his point of view. And so to be able to sit down with Christopher, for example, and be at the orphanage and learn things that I didn't know that made it into the story, that needed to be there, again, it really sort of filled in some holes that otherwise, you know, may have been lacking. And it was, you know, rather important, really, to be there in person.
Right. I think that again is the big thing. You know, I think there is that great interaction that you talk about in the book between Tosh and Fred Cameron, where there is the actual, you know, city that is there when it comes to London versus just the pictures. I mean, do you hope that you're, because of the way that you do write, that you're able to help us, for those of us who have not been, you know, outside of our own state or outside the country, you kind of help us to better appreciate, through the way that you wrote this, not only the journey, but also, you know, what led to the experience?
Yeah, certainly. And you know, we talked earlier about social media, and that's the beauty of really the age that we live in, sort of the internet age. And so I write the story as descriptively as I can, as I know how. But the beauty of the internet is, you know, we have a terrific website, and so you can go there and see videos of the orphanage. You can walk really a lot of those same places, see video of Tosh. In fact, we have, so when he came, as a little boy, he spoke only Tamil, he spoke no English, and his mother was concerned that he would, you know, she knew he would lose his language, and she thought, I want to record that so later on he can hear it, he can listen to what he sounded like. And so she made a recording of him as a 7-8-year-old boy. That's online. People can listen to that today. And the irony is, in that recording, he was trying to tell them he had a family, you know, that he wasn't an orphan, and they couldn't understand what he was saying. It wasn't until years later when he met Priya and she was able to listen to it and tell him that he realized, you know, as a child I was trying to tell my parents and they couldn't understand. But again, so the viewer, or rather the reader, can listen to that. They can experience that. And so really is pretty amazing that, you know, the times we do live in and the benefits that we have because of that.
Yeah. You know, that we have that saying, a picture is worth a thousand words, Cameron. The last thing I wanted to mention is that wonderful picture that you capture that's featured in the book from June of 2015 of the mothers that were a part of Taj's life meeting for the first time. Talk to us about that picture and what that picture means for you and definitely for him.
Yeah, so Taj's story, you know, he's kidnapped in 78, 79-ish. He's about 7 then. He's taken to the United States. It's years later, nearly 2 decades, before he's able to go back and find his family. But, you know, that was still, it was many, many years ago. And so the question, you know, came up sort of, you know, why didn't you tell your story before now? Why didn't it come out before now? And I contend that the story wasn't finished yet. The two mothers did not actually meet until last June, which really is pretty astounding. And, you know, they in India, the culture is one where you really don't hug, and they couldn't help themselves. The two mothers came together, and it was just, you know, the natural reaction is they just hugged and they wept and they thanked each other. You know, his Indian mother thanked his mother in the United States for raising him, and they were able to sit down and look at a scrapbook and see the pictures of him as he grew up. And Linda, his mother here, was able to meet relatives that, you know, she otherwise, you know, knew about but didn't have the opportunity to see in person. And so really just a touching, touching moment and really the perfect conclusion, if you will, or at least near the ending of the story. And it was just a terrific moment. Here's the funny part. I knew that they were going over there. I knew the mothers were going to meet. And so I actually wrote that scene before it happened, thinking, okay, I may have to change it, but in a perfect world,
wow,
this is how it would play out. And I told Taj, I said, Taj, stay out of the way. Don't screw it up. And indeed, when he came home, he said, wow, it played out exactly like you wrote it. And I didn't have to change a word. And it was pretty amazing.
Amazing. Well, this conversation has been pretty amazing, Cameron. Thank you so much for the time. Again, everyone, best-selling author Cameron Wright has been our guest. His newest book is called The Orphan Keeper. It is available now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite online retailer. Of course, you can go to your favorite bookstore if they don't have it as well. They'll be glad to be able to order it for you. You mentioned the website, Cameron, so we definitely have to ask you, how can our audience be able, you know, to find out more information and to be able to stay connected with you?
Sure, theorphankeeper.com. It's that simple. And from there, you can connect to the Facebook page, to Twitter, my email. Certainly, you know, can be in touch any of those ways. And I receive all of those emails and happy to respond.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the time, Cameron. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and looking forward to that next book and our next conversation together, okay?
You bet. Hey, Cyrus, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Thank you. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Cameron, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. I've already tagged Cameron on Facebook and Twitter, so you guys can go to our page, be able to like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter, and then, of course, be able to click on that link and listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friends from there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.